This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
9 minutes past 10. People of Power, good morning and welcome to the second hour of Power Talk. That sound in your ears, Power 98.7, and the voice is myself, Lukhona Mnguni, bringing you all things that matter this morning. Well, it is National Wills Week, and a great deal of focus being placed on wills, estates, and especially deceased estates, and how they are managed, and you know, when a person dies and they've left a will, what happens? Why is it important? So important that there are even organizations this week that are offering their services to help draw up wills for people, free of charge. So those are some of the things that we are going to be focusing on now. We've got Deputy Master at the High Court in the Eastern Cape, Jemilo Adrian, joining us this morning. Jemilo, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for making time. Perhaps, I mean, let's just start with the foundational question. The importance of a will, because many people still seem very skeptical to draw up one, or at least think, you know, they've got more life in them and therefore the issue of drawing up a will is not a pressing, immediate need. How would you educate us about the importance of drawing up a will, and at what age should you start thinking of drawing up a will?
Thank you. I can't stress the importance enough of having a will. Especially in the circumstances that we find ourselves in recently with the pandemic and so on. The implications of not having a will is dire, that means that your assets will devolve in terms of what we call the Interstate Succession Act. So you will not have that control of deciding who gets what from your estate. When you are 16, getting to the age, any time from 16 years and over, you are allowed in terms of law to draw up a will. It is important. And in the master's environment as well, what we've noted, people that do not have wills, those are normally the estates that takes time to finalize. Because of disputes amongst family members, and then also there not being certainty and understanding how the interstate succession laws work. It also, for example, when you divorce, people will forget to draw up new wills. If you perhaps have children outside of your marriage or relationship, which does happen, then, those are then the people that will suffer at the end of the day if you do not draw up a will. So it's more to create certainty and then also to make sure that your wishes are complied with when you do pass away.
In fact, Jemilo, I'm glad you are raising this issue of, granting certainty after you are gone. And we see that, you know, government has at least has tried to put certain, you know, safeguards in place, especially where people's pensions are involved, including children who would have been, children that would have been born outside marriage can actually have a stake and claim on your pension for purposes of their education, depending how old they are and so on. And I suppose this is part of the state realizing that you can't leave this question of certainty, particularly for children, at the hands of, you know, their parents, because they may be without a will, and therefore you put these safeguards in place. Someone, Jemilo, listening though, might say, because a will might also create disunity, I want to leave it to my dependents decide among themselves and negotiate how best to deal with my assets after I am gone. What is the risk of that type of concept?
Just the first point that you raised with regard to the pension, the pension does fall outside the estate.
Okay.
So from a will's perspective, that pension, except if the pension paid out while you were still alive.
Once or off.
It was determined while you were alive and then you passed away and it was paid into your bank account and so on. Mm. But other than that, the pension has its own rules with regard to determining beneficiaries and dependents and so on. Yeah. So that will not form part of your deceased estate. It will be dealt with outside your deceased estate.
Okay.
With regard to the second point, it is you must also know as a testator or a testatrix drafting a will, you are not compelled to inform your beneficiaries of what you have decided in your will.
Mm.
You can let them know so that all of them are prepared when you do pass away that this is what's going to happen, which basically prepares the family or the dependents of the eventuality of your assets and so on. So you don't have to. But at least then the person that you appoint as an executor then needs to have your original copy of your will. So there it can go either way when it comes to the family. But you as the person doing the will, you make the decision and you know your dependents and you know what your wishes are.
Now, Jemilo, what constitutes a valid will? A lot of people out there, attorneys, banks, and to a degree, some investment vehicles are able to drop a will for you, some at cost, some give you a cost for them being there. You're almost renting for them to keep your will of cost. But what constitutes a valid will? Can I write a will and leave it with my wife?
Yes, you can. There's two sides to it. In the one instance is you have to determine now between typing the will and writing the will. In the case of writing, let me first get to the requirements. The requirements is that you must be 16 years and older. As I said, the will must be in writing. If it is not in writing, then you will the master won't be able to accept that will and or a verbal or oral will. You also have to have you have to sign the document as the testator in original, and then you also will need two witnesses to attest to that signatures of yours. If it is more than one page, then they sign on each page as well. And then one of the important factors is that it must be signed at the end of the will by the testator or testatrix. So that is basically it's straightforward requirements. What people must just look out for when they do draft a will, especially when it is in writing, is that one of the questions the master will ask you is that who wrote the will? And if you are one of the beneficiaries and you were the one writing the will on behalf of the testator, then there is restrictions. Even if you are a witness and you are benefiting in terms of the will, then you will your inheritance will be limited not include. You won't be able to benefit from the what is in the will, except if you would have inherited intestate. So that is basically the simple requirements that you need to comply with to draw up a valid will.
Now, I mean, Jemilo, you are a deputy master at the High Court. You no doubt are called upon to adjudicate certain matters where there are contestations. At times there may be a legal will, but, you know, those can still be contested at a court, as we know. What are some of the lessons over, you know, time that you can share with us that, you know, you think, you know, people listening in need to know and avoid certain things where wills are concerned so that there could be less contest of the will when the time comes for it to be read out or you know, indicated to the family what the deceased wishes were?
That is a very important question. The implications are great of what the valid requirements that I read now. And then the implication also of when there is a dispute, The master's role in wills is to look at if the formal requirements have been complied with on face value. So that is what the master does. If there is any dispute or regarding, for example, signatures or who the beneficiaries are and so on after the master's accepted the will, the implication is that the only alternative that you have is to go to the High Court. For the court then to exercise its jurisdiction and or its discretion then to decide in terms of the Wills Act whether it's a valid will or not, or whether that party can be excluded or whatever the case may be. And there the first lesson is the cost that's involved with that. Just to bring that application costs a whole, it costs a fortune. And then some beneficiaries who really believe that they were supposed to inherit will then, because of that financial implication, simply just leave it as is. So that is the implication. And then also it is important that you obviously cannot help for disputes after you've passed away, but at least that document alone will create certainty. And I think that is one of the important things. Anyone that contests it, if it's valid, will then have to go to court to contest it, which makes it a bit more material, or you need to be 100% sure that you want to contest it. But then the estate will proceed as normal if it relates to the will, and then so there won't be anything hampering it because there is a will in place.
Absolutely. My guest is Jamilo Adrian, Deputy Master of the High Court in the Eastern Cape. It is National Wills Week, and therefore we are putting some focus here on Power Talk and Power 98.7 on this matter that is all important. If you have a question for him to answer to, please dial through on 0861-987-000. I will be back with my guest just to understand what else can they do to minimize the cost of clarifying certain questions that are so important for some families in order to move along, because the contestation over a deceased estate can break families apart, has led to family feuds, and that is definitely not something that I think as society we wish to prize ourselves on. So therefore, all the mechanisms necessary must be put in place to establish as much harmony as possible long after people are gone. 22 minutes past 10.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mgumi. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Indeed, 24 minutes past 10, National Wills Week. We are looking at wills with Deputy Master of the High Court in the Eastern Cape, Jamilo Adrian. And perhaps before I put any other question to him, let me just welcome people on 0861-987-000. Alpheus, good morning.
Good morning.
Go for it, but.
Yeah, well, let me just be quick about the Office of the Master approving the invalid wills, whereby when the families try to dispute, they are told to go to court, and you find that the families are very poor. And secondly, the issue of the wills that have been done by the beneficiary, everything done by the beneficiary. Lastly, the wills that you find that the person is either terminally ill or was very old to make a decision to write a will. And most of the time, you find that the families, they are not informed or called to say, your father, your parent have left a will, here is the beneficiary.
Okay.
In most of the cases, you find that the family, they will know after everything has been changed, and to challenge it at high cost is very costly.
Okay.
Issues are left hanging.
I'll put that to my guest. Lena, good morning.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Mine quickly is to say that I have an aunt who is married, has a marriage certificate, and after the husband died, she was able to get the letter of authority. Now there's another woman who claims to be the wife, and she has a will that says that the husband leaves everything to her. And I heard your guest saying that one should inquire where this will was written, and I did not have this information, so I think maybe I could go back and ask where this will was written. And now my thing is, as much as my aunt has a letter of authority, now she's unable to claim at the insurances because they want a BI 1663 letter. from Home Affairs, which she has, because he's the one who buried my uncle.
Yes.
So now I want to find out. And even on the signatures on the will, you can see that the writing of the husband, because the husband could not even write. Mm. Actually, the kids are the ones who taught him how to write his name. But you can tell and see that it's not the same as what he's been writing on other documents.
Okay.
Now, I understand that it's quite costly to go to the High Court.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask your guest whether there are any other, maybe law clinics or people who are able to assist such people who are unable to afford. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you so much, Lena. Jamilo, your response to those two listeners.
Okay, I just need to recap. There was a lot of questions
yeah.
in them. So I'm just going back to the first caller.
Mm.
I'm just trying to recap. What,
talking about what, office what of the master approving invalid wills. That was one part, and
yes.
then a will by a beneficiary, a person, somebody who may have been terminally ill or too old to write a will themselves, and then there's a beneficiary that shows the will. I mean, contestations over those, I suppose, and how they pan out.
Yeah, as I said, yes, with the cost, and that is also what the caller was talking about. When it comes to the master's involvement with wills, the master is the custodian of the wills.
Mm.
Saying that the master accepted an invalid will, remember when I said that the master accepts it only on the face of
the facts.
What if it's complying with the formal requirements?
Mm. Mm.
So if the signatures are there, if the witnesses signed on there, if it's the original will, the master will accept it. That is then the document that will be used for purposes of the estate being administered.
Mm.
Outside of that, the master does not have the jurisdiction to say, or even not the authority to say whether the will is valid or not.
Mm.
The master actually doesn't decide on the validity. The master just accepts it on the face of it. It is unfortunate. The Act does say, the Wills Act, that if there is a dispute on anything, even with the signatures and even with the formalities, the only way that you can deal with that is by way of going to the High Court. And it is understandable. Remember, a will is a very important document.
Yeah.
You are dealing with someone's assets. You are dealing with someone's legacy. And it can't just be done by any person other than the High Court who has a decision, because that court now will have to make a decision on someone's behalf who has already
And I suppose
away.
You are dealing with people's futures as well, those who would
yes.
ordinarily be beneficiaries. Jamilo, I mean,
yes.
Lena asks, we are almost out of time, but Lena asks a very mm. important one. Aunt is mm. married, has letter of authority, but there is another lady now claiming to have been married and has the will. And these are not uncommon stories, and I am definitely
yes.
sure you are aware of this.
Yeah, it is very common. From the master's point of view, if remember also, even if you are issued with letters of authority, the master takes the information what is submitted on affidavit. So mm-hmm. if you report the estate and you say, I was the surviving spouse, you have your proof, and we do ask for the marriage certificate, then you will then be appointed in the estate. If later now it comes out, I heard the lady also, or the caller also speaking about the insurance, the master won't get involved with the insurance and the BI forms and on that side of the story. But if a will came out and the master, because I heard she said that the person came out with a will as well.
Mm.
If there is a will that came out and we've accepted it on the face of it, that previous person who was appointed, it means now that we have to give effect to what is said in the will if we see the will as valid.
Okay.
And that is because a will can come out after 3 years. A will
yeah.
can come out after 5 years. Then we have to give effect to that because now new information has come to the fore. I don't know if I've answered the question.
You have, Jamilo. We are out of time. I mean, some pressing issues that might need to be revisited,
yes.
but thank you for making time for us this morning.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
That's Deputy Master at the High Court in the Eastern Cape, Jamilo Adrian, 10:30.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.